So, Ryan, The Exorcist Files, an incredibly successful podcast series. You are moving into the next phase, a lot of really cool stuff coming. We're going to get into all of that. But for those who don't know, they're not familiar with The Exorcist Files, what in the world led you into this world of evil and the demonic?
Well, I don't know if I'd characterize me personally journeying into the world of the evil and the demonic. There's a statute of limitations on any actions undertaken, as you know, Mr. Halliwell. But I would say I started this with much more, we'll call it lighthearted desire to document what I'll call metaphysical phenomenon so that people in Los Angeles and SoCal don't think I'm immediately crazy. I've always been fascinated with just the idea of like, what are those crazy coincidences or miraculous answers to prayer or even just healings? Like, it's rare. Like, I don't want to mislead people to thinking that like I've seen hundreds of people healed of crazy things, but you know, there's a lot of cool things going on that can't be explained in our world. And that was, you know, my sort of pillars are just what's real and what's ridiculous. And those two kind of fit that. And so I actually got to go and meet some people at the Vatican who walked me through and said, hey, look, it's going to be a little tough to get some of these medical records. And as you know, they have a whole process for documenting healings as part of their saint canonization process. So if you were to be considered for sainthood, which I'm sure your application is still pending, you would have to have two miracles associated with your name. And they have doctors, evidence, sign. I mean, they throw out almost all the claims because they want it to be real. And when it is real, it meets a really high threshold of evidence. And that was awesome. But unfortunately, you know, medical records are understandably, and frankly, it's good that they're hard to access, right? And so the individual I was working with said, you know what, I want to introduce you to, in the meantime, to a guy who we send sort of many of our top, most difficult cases for in spiritual warfare. And of course, my producer hat went, interesting, I should talk to him. Needless to say, I met an exorcist, and you have to ask him to tell you a few stories. And after that, I said, I think we have a show here. And here we are.
And the rest is history. You know, so in this show, you guys do incredible dramatic reenactments. I mean, there's a lot happening in this show. It's not just an interview show. You really sort of pulled all the stops out and put this together in a really compelling way. You know, you went into this, obviously, you mentioned a little bit more lighthearted in that sense of, you know, and intrigued, though. You wanted to know, you wanted to understand. How did season one, putting those stories together, being sort of at the center of creating these narratives, how did that change you or impact you?
Well, the moment we hit record in this monastery, when we started recording, the power went out. And I remember Father Martin's just had a kind of smirk and goes like, hey, welcome to my world, right? So anyone who's done, I will say, look, this is going to sound nuts, but this should fit right in with your regular scheduled programming. but I have to say, the amount of people that I've talked to who work in just paranormal or, you know, super or spiritual warfare, or even attempting to document this, the signal and the noise, for, you know, a bad pun, there is so much tech failure that happens. It was absolutely, you hear stories and you're like, oh, whatever, not going to happen to me. And sure enough, we had power go out, a full episode disappear off multiple drives. I mean, just, you know, again,
What were you thinking when those lights went out? Like, there you are. You're about, like, here we go. We're starting this up. You hit start, you go, and then that happens. Like, what was going through your mind in that moment?
You know, I think one of the reasons the show's been successful is that there is a polarity. Yeah, obviously, I'm a Christian. I totally believe in the supernatural, but it's not my vocation. It's not my day job to cast out demons, right? And when you meet someone like that, and they have just an entirely different lens of looking at the world, I just come at everything very skeptical. I grew up in a tradition where, you know, it's just not talked about. And again, I love science. You know, those posters that say I believe in science, like, I love science. It's amazing. And one thing I appreciate about Father Martin's is that he will also say the vast majority of these reported cases of spiritual warfare are unfortunately attributable to mental illness or wrong, right? We all hear things that go bump in the night, et cetera. So I just thought, yeah, it's funny. I didn't even think demonic. I just thought, oh, what a funny coincidence, right? And then there comes a point where you have enough things happen where you're like, oh, it's interesting. And the thing that I want to talk about in the show is that, you know, it's funny. There's this sort of blissful ignorance that, again, I always start with if it's true, right? And I'm playing the skeptic on the show, which is like, hey, I'm just putting the evidence out there and you can decide whether all these people are making this up or not. Because again, Father Martin's is not paid to do exorcism. This is not a per exorcism, you know, not a per exorcist, you know, fee. The church doesn't charge. This is a very serious, and to his credit, he actually was very reluctant to share this. It was only out of a desire to say, hey, I want to warn people to the dangers of dabbling in the occult. So you kind of sit back and you go, okay, this all seems very, very strange. And you kind of just go along with the flow. And then at a certain point, enough things happen where you say, okay, I think something interesting is happening here. And if you believe in the Judeo-Christian narrative, right, if it's true, right, it's funny, everyone's comfortable with guardian angels and it's fun to swap stories, touched by an angel, et cetera. No one, of course, referenced touched by a demon.
Yeah.
Which nobody did not come out, thankfully. But it's funny, if it's true, right, it's like, hey, then these other things exist. And guess what? And I'll say one thing I always smile at. I get so many emails from people saying, hey, if I listen to this, will demons show up in my house? And I want to say, if it's true, right, then, and you are a Christian, then you were already under attack the moment you were born. It's an insidious lie that you can't even learn about it. And I think some of these little things that happen kind of fuel that myth. So yeah, I kind of raised eyebrow.
Well, okay. So let's talk about that for a minute, because you just raised something really interesting, and it's something I've dealt with too. You know, there are people who say even talking about this stuff, whether you're doing a podcast about it, writing a book on it, which, you know, I've done, that you're opening the door. Meanwhile, my motivation has always been, you know, I'm a lifelong Christian. I also am skeptical. I want you to prove to me that what you're saying is true, or that what you've gone through is true. I want to know that it's real. I know these things exist, but is what you are telling me true? You know, but that I think perceived danger is very interesting to me, because what you're doing here in this series, you're creatively, artistically presenting these stories, not with an end goal of just terrifying everybody, but I would imagine there's a broader end goal in that exploration. Talk a little bit about that and why people shouldn't be fearful, in your view, of listening to these sorts of shows.
For sure. So first I'll give the Christian answer, the requisite Christian answer. So if it's true and the Bible is true, so if these demons are real, the good news is, you know, they always in the cartoons, they portray the angel and demon on your shoulder. That is not theologically accurate, according to church tradition. Technically, only a third of the angels fell in the narrative from heaven. So you actually would have two angels on your shoulders. So don't worry. There's like, and then you throw in the Holy Spirit, and you got like, there's basically like three of you, and then Jesus. So basically, it's like 5-1, you know, so don't worry. But also in scripture, it's written, right, that God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. And so, again, evil preys off fear, et cetera. And so I believe it's sort of like akin to that famous quote from which was popularized in The Usual Suspects, but the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing us he didn't exist. And so, you know what, like there is a vested interest in these things staying hidden, obfuscating, disappearing, et cetera. And they want, I would guess if they are real, they want you to believe it's all just a myth, et cetera. So all that to me points to is that they're probably more afraid of you if it's true than you are of them. Because, I mean, in fact, remember in the scripture, the apostles come back and they're like, Jesus, this is amazing. The demons submit. That's like the thing they lead with, right? They're like, even the demons submit to our names. They didn't come back and be like, I did all this other cool stuff. It was like, dude, Jesus, this happened. And he has to remind them, yeah, that's cool. But FYI, just rejoice that you're saved. So yeah, I think it's, if Christianity is true, then it's a lie that you can't learn about this, et cetera. And then you think about all the other stuff. Like, I do appreciate the kind of tension between someone emailing me saying, can I listen to this? Will it open me to attack? But I'm also like totally like rewatching Game of Thrones season 1 for the second time, right? Yeah, I love Game of Thrones, but like there's some scenes in there. I'm like, you can't be worried about our show and then watch some of those scenes in there.
I was just going to say, speaking of opening the door to demons, you're admitting, yeah, I'm kidding. I think that we do need to be as Christians open to the fact that we need to tell these stories in different ways. We need to be able to, there's nothing wrong with engaging people the way that you have in these stories when there's an end goal that is going to help them understand better, comprehend better, and then assess for themselves. I'm sure there's people who walk away and say, I obviously don't think any of this is true. Do you get a lot of those emails too from people?
You know, I get less of those actually, because I mean, frankly, I think, you know, the show is not just the priest narrating his stories, right? And again, totally fair. I'll play devil's advocate here, which interestingly enough, our regular listeners will know that title comes from the process of trying to investigate these miracles. And the church actually created a position to prosecute the alternative and say, hey, maybe it wasn't a miracle, right? So that devil's advocate role is a real thing. And it's important, right? Because we want to know what is true. At the end of the day, we're all after what is true. And I tell people, if these things are real, you want to know, because you want to know how to deal with them. You know, as they joke, like, who are you going to call? And obviously a church. But I would say that we get some skeptics, but the reality is, because we feature people, as you know, Dr. Richard Gallagher, Dr. Josh Brown, other exorcists, there's enough people that come on that you just, they have such a strong, you know, mountain of like credentials, and they're just, and you hear them talk, and I think it's just very compelling. I mean, Dr. Gallagher has a famous quip in season one where he says, look, I am a, he's a, you know, eminent clinical psychiatrist and board certified. And he says, look, I know the difference between mental illness and demonization. And he's like, mentally ill patients don't wake up speaking Aramaic. So the idea that, you know, it's all fake, et cetera, like, you just, I don't think you can blanket dismiss all of this testimony. And you have stories like Dr. Brown's, where literally he manifests after the mention of a name that his wife had a dream about. And he's a neurosurgeon, or he's, I'm sorry, a neuroscientist. And so you go, all right, you can say maybe they're mistaken, et cetera, but they appear to be highly credible and not just making this up.
Yeah, no. And I think I've encountered that as well, right? I mean, you know, when you have random people, and even some of the random people have compelling stories, right? But when you have these people who are scientists, especially, who are well-respected, you know, they've gone to Ivy League schools, not that that matters in the scheme of things in life necessarily, but I think in terms of this topic, knowing that these are credible people, it just adds a lot of weight to it. All right, so now you guys, you are moving into the next phase of the Exorcist Files, and you've gone independent. There's a lot of really cool things happening. Fill us in a little bit on where things stand and how people can kind of rally around you guys as you move forward in that journey.
Absolutely. Well, thank you to shows like yours. We hit a milestone of just under 8 million downloads with season one so far. So it's been a huge success. I can't prove this definitively, but then again, I can't prove anything definitively in our series. But I'd say a same amount of credible evidence exists that we were arguably one of the top Christian podcasts in the country last year. And so we spent 40 weeks on the charts. It was such a blessing. We loved working with iHeartRadio. They really helped us succeed. And we're just really proud of what we made. I mean, it's a whole, even the sound, it's 3D surround sound audio. And it's really immersive. We really think we kind of did a great job of sort of, I won't say pioneering, I'm sure other people are working on this, but we love this idea of redemptive horror, which is, you know, can you use entertainment to edify and educate? And exorcism content is just one of those subjects where you're going to come in and the truth is scarier than anything I could exaggerate about it, because it's the real stuff is chilling. So now we're on season two, is coming out in probably the next 2 months. We're doing a Kickstarter since we went independent to self-finance and finish it. The joke in season one was the only thing scarier than the show was the number of commercials. So we have cut back on the number of commercials, and the deal is, all right, we're going to do a Kickstarter to help do that. So if you want to support us, you can go to exorcistfiles.tv. You know, it's a really cool, there's a lot of amazing stuff that we offer that you can only get through the Kickstarter, and some cool experiences too for those who donate. And so we're hoping to really just make a huge dent and show that, hey, you can tell the gospel, preach the truth, scare people, entertain people. And at the end of the day, I get way more emails from people saying that this show led them straight to the confessional than anything they've heard in the last, you know, probably 5-10 years. And so that is it is a ministry, and it's really cool. But also it's entertainment. So I, you know, some people just listen to it and go, that was awesome. That was really interesting. I think they're wrong, but whatever. And, you know, so we just, at the end of the day, don't play with Ouija boards. Stick to Monopoly, but greed is also a sin.
Yeah. Well, okay. So, you know, as we sort of look at the different stories and the different narratives that you encountered and that you're going to obviously encounter in season two here, what for you, well, you know, before I even go there, let's talk about churches, because it feels like you guys on this show are talking about a topic that some churches don't talk about at all. Right. And that's interesting to me. We see Hollywood even, you know, and they're not necessarily doing it from the right theological lens, but they're talking about a topic more than some churches are. Why do you think that is? Why do you think there is this, and maybe you'll disagree with me on this, but this disconnect between many churches on this issue?
Yeah, it's interesting. Last year was kind of the year of exorcism. There were so many exorcism movies, right? There was Nefarious. There's the Pope's Exorcist. Our show came out. There was a conference called SatanCon, which I blissfully did not attend. And I do wonder who sponsors that. Like Duraflame, you know, is it like it's a lot of fire products? I don't know. But no, it's interesting. And I don't know. I think if I had to guess, a lot of it comes from probably that trend towards like a liberal, you know, naturalistic interpretation of the Bible that kind of crept in the last kind of like, you know, 70, 80 years. And, you know, Father Martin's joked that, you know, at one point there was like Father, Son, and, you know, Holy Counselor, right? There was, or like, you know, counseling became like the new exorcism, and this idea that science solves everything. And that really played up in the West. It's interesting. You travel the world, and in a lot of different countries, right, the idea that the supernatural is very real. This is not a controversial topic. It seems to be more in our sort of Western postmodern world. But I find it interesting because a lot of churches don't talk about it. And Jesus spent, you know, you could argue a fourth maybe of his time. It's well documented in the Gospels. In fact, one of the first, you know, encounters with Jesus in the temple, you have a demoniac manifesting in the Jewish temple, which I thought was really interesting. And so I think we kind of ignored our own peril. And like a lot of things, it probably just became taboo. I don't understand, though, because many, many people are totally open to angelic intervention in their life. And yet you mention the word evil spirits or demons, and suddenly people get very nervous. So I do find that sort of dissonance very interesting.
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think it's the weirdness of the topic in people's eyes. Like, okay, culture's going to think I'm weird if I go out there and I say I believe these things, which is really funny to me, and I'll get myself in trouble here. In a culture where people are rubbing crystals, you know, to try to do all sorts of different things, that people are afraid that this is going to also be weird. There's a lot of weird things going on in mainstream culture right now. But I think it's that. And, you know, it's sort of this fear that drives people into silence. And then also being fearful that maybe by focusing too much on it, you're opening a door to it, which again, I think if the focus is in the right direction, that's not something people need to be, you know, fearful of. But, you know, but I find it fascinating that Hollywood knows that people have this natural desire to understand this, which is why they make all of these movies, which is why we continue to see them, The Conjuring, all those films, you know, unfold. So at the end of the day for you, when all is said and done with The Exorcist Files, maybe you've had 30 seasons, who knows where it's going to go from here. What is success for you?
Well, one, we want to just raise awareness of, again, the idea that if this is real, right, you should want to know about it. And if it is real, there's a treatment. It's sort of, it's probably akin to that same logic you have when, you know, that reticence you might feel to go visit a medical practitioner, you know, something's wrong and you're kind of, that you may not be conscious of it, but you know, if you go see it and hear it, you don't want to hear what it could be. And the irony is, like, there may be a treatment. Right. There may be something that's really, you just don't want to accept that. And so I think that it's one of those things where a lot of people say, I don't want this to be true. And I always counter is like, no, you do want it to be true, because if these things are real, right, sure, they can break natural law in our stories we document. They can break, you know, laws that we are subject to as humans. But, right, there's a higher law that governs them. And if it's true, there's a higher law that they have to submit to. And in that law, you operating in the baptism of Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit have much more authority and can basically cast them down, which is kind of cool. So I do tell people, like, it's again, it's all parlor tricks and, you know, it's intimidation tactics to try and scare. So, you know, if they are real, that means angels are real. It means there's way more of them. It's a great outcome. So I want people to consider the question and say, if this is true, what would this mean for my life? Because it is, again, and I'm not here to say, look, Christianity is 100% true. Like, I believe it's true, but again, sure. Could we be living in Elon Musk simulation? Sure. I don't think we are, but like, we could be.
I hope we're not.
I know. Like, I hope I have free will. But in the end of the day, Christianity, it sounds cliche, Billy, but it's like, it is the best news. Because if it's true, then all this labor and everything we're doing and every hardship and every terrible story that we tell, that, you know, or just tragedy happens, has meaning and can be redeemed. And this is just not the end, right? You're a journalist. You document all the crazy stuff going on in this world. And wouldn't it be awesome if all that stuff is somehow not the end of the story, and there's something way bigger, as they say in Dune, plans within plans. So I want people just to wake up and say, hey, there's a lot more going on, and the world may be far more spiritually charged than you're willing to consider. And you don't have to take our word for it, but do your homework. Dig in, Google around, find out if the stories that people share converge. Because I'll say, when I was in college, I had three fraternity brothers who all shared with me, independent of each other, I don't even think they know this about each other, stories of their own encounter with a dark shadow in their room that behaved in a very similar way. And at this point, I've heard so many similar experiences that I'm like, I'm absolutely convinced that there's a reality here. And so I just want to wake people up to that, and have some fun. And don't worry, it is a little scary, but There's plenty of dad jokes in the series. So stay tuned for those.
Well, listen, I love it. I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. It's The Exorcist Files. Again, where can people go? What's the link? Give it to us one last time.
Go to exorcistfiles.tv, sign up for our Kickstarter, pick your reward, and we will say, verily, you shall have your reward. And please, exorcistfiles.tv, available on all podcast platforms. Download it today. The power compels you.
Oh boy. Great place to end. Ryan, appreciate your time today.
The spin stops here. That's what we like to say.